Chapter 7. And why gives this the only prime idea to you of a real love rhyme? And why does plunging your arm in a bowl full of spring water bring throbs to your soul? Well, under the fall, in a crease of the stone, though where precisely none ever has known, jammed darkly, nothing to show how prized, and by now with its smoothness opalized, is a drinking glass. For, down that pass my lover, and I walked under a sky of blue with a leaf-woven awning of green, in the burn of August, to paint the scene, and we placed our basket of fruit and wine by the runlet's rim, where we sat to dine. And when we had drunk from the glass together, arched by the oak copse from the weather, I held the vessel, to rinse in the fall, where it slipped, and sank, and was past recall, though we stooped and plumbed the little abyss with long bared arms. There the glass still is. And, as said, if I thrust my arm below cold water in basin or bowl, a throw from the past awakens a sense of that time, and the glass both used, and the cascades rhyme. The basin seems the pool, and its edge the hard smooth face of the brookside ledge, and the leafy pattern of China where the hanging plants that were bathing there. By night, by day, when it shines or lours, there lies intact that chalice of ours, and its presence adds to the rhyme of love persistently sung by the fall above. No lip has touched it since his, and mine in turns therefrom sipped lover's wine. The spell of the rose, mean to build a hall anon, and shape two turrets there, and a broad newelled stair, and a cool well for crystal water. Yes, I will build a hall anon, plant roses love shall feed upon, and apple trees and pear. He set to build the manor hall, and shape the turrets there, and the broad newelled stair, and the cool well for crystal water. He built for me that manor hall, and planted many trees withal, but no rose anywhere. And as he planted never a rose, that bears the flower of love, though other flowers throve a frost wind moved our souls to sever, since he had planted never a rose, and misconceits raised horrid shows, and agonies came thereof. LL meant these miseries, then said I, and so, at dead of night, I went, and, screened from sight, that naught should keep our souls in severance, I set a rose bush. His, said I, an divisions dire and dry, and long-drawn days of blight. But I was called from earth, yea, called before my rosebush grew, and would that now I knew what feels he of the tree I planted, and whether, after I was called to be a ghost, he, as of old, gave me his heart anew. Perhaps now blooms that queen of trees I set, but saw not grow, and he, beside its glow eyes couched of the misvision, that blurred me, there beside that queen of trees he sees me as I was, though sees too late to tell me so. St. Launce's revisited, slip back, time. Yet again I am nearing castle and keep, uprearing gray, as in my prime. At the inn smiling close, why is it, not as on my visit when hope, and I were twin? Groom and jade whom I found here, molder, strange the tavern holder, strange the tap maid. Here I hired horse and man for bearing me on my wayfaring to the door desired. Evening gloomed as I journeyed forward to the faces shoreward, till their dwelling loomed. If again towards the Atlantic sea there I should speed, they'd be there surely now as then? ... Why waste thought, when I know them vanished under earth? Yea, banished ever into naught. Poems of 1912-13 Veterus Vestigia Flammy. The going, why did you give no hint that night, that quickly after the morrow's dawn, and calmly, as if indifferent quite, you would close your term here, up and be gone, where I could not follow with wing of swallow, to gain one glimpse of you ever anon? Never to bid goodbye, or give me the softest call, or utter a wish for a word, while I saw morning harden upon the wall, unmoved, unknowing that your great going had placed that moment, and altered all. Why do you make me leave the house, and think for a breath it is you I see at the end of the alley of bending boughs, where so often at dusk you used to be, till in darkening dankness the yawning blankness of the perspective sickens me? You were she who abode by those red-veined rocks far west, you were the swan-necked one who rode along the beetling beany crest, and, Raining nigh me, with muse and I me, while life unrolled us its very best. Why, then, latterly did we not speak, did we not think of those days long dead, and eerier vanishing strive to seek that time's renewal? We might have said, and this bright spring weather we'll visit together those places that once we visited. Well, well, all's past amend, unchangeable. It must go. I seem but a dead man held on end to sink down soon. Oh, you could not know that such swift fleeing no soul foreseeing, not even I would undo me so. December 1912. Your last drive, here by the moorway you returned, and saw the burrow lights ahead that lit your face all undiscerned to be in a week the face of the dead, and you told of the charm of that haloed view that never again would beam on you. And on your left you passed the spot where 8 days later you were to lie and be spoken of as one who was not, beholding it with a cursory eye as alien from you, though under its tree you soon would halt everlastingly. I drove not with you. Yet had I sat at your side, that eve I should not have seen that the countenance I was glancing at had a last time look in the flickering sheen, nor have read the writing upon your face. I go hence soon to my resting place. You may miss me then, but I shall not know how many times you visit me there, or what your thoughts are, or if you go there never at all. And I shall not care. Should you censure me, I shall take no heed, and even your praises I shall not need. True. Never you'll know, and you will not mind. But shall I then slight you because of such? Dear ghost, in the past did you ever find the thought at profit? Move me much, yet the fact indeed remains the same. You are past love, praise, indifference, blame. December 1912. The walk. You did not walk with me of late to the hilltop tree by the gated ways, as in earlier days. You were weak and lame, so you never came, and I went alone, and I did not mind, not thinking of you as left behind. I walked up there today just in the former way. Surveyed around the familiar ground by myself again. What difference, then? Only that underlying sense of the look of a room on returning thence. Rain on the grave, clouds spout upon her their waters amain in ruthless disdain, her who but lately had shivered with pain, as a touch of dishonor, if there had lit on her so coldly, so straightly such arrows of rain. She who to shelter her delicate head would quicken, and quicken each tentative tread, if drops chanced to pelt her that summertime spills in dust-paven rills, when thunder clouds thicken and birds close their bills. Would that I lay there, and she were housed here. Or better, together were folded away there exposed to one weather we both, who would stray there, when sunny the day there, or evening was clear at the prime of the year. Soon will be growing green blades from her mound. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.